Thank you. I have a couple of other hearings at the same time, so it all worked out. First of all, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity, both of you, to come and speak before you today on this issue. Some of you know that I've been working very hard, along with Representative Kessler, yourself, Representative Jeskiewicz, and other members of the legislature to address this issue of raising the age of adult jurisdiction. We had a bill last session, AB 82, which attempted to raise the age of adult jurisdiction back to 18. At that point, we were granted a hearing in the Criminal Justice Committee and had excellent testimony that really, I think, helped to persuade more of my colleagues that this is something that we need to take a serious look at. I did request the audit, and I think that the findings of the audit will be even more helpful in being able to make the case for why, as a state, we really have to take a serious look at raising the age back to 18. As most of you know, the law was changed in 1996 to make 17-year-olds alleged to have committed a violent crime, or to, not a violent crime, but a crime period, subject to criminal court jurisdiction under adult court. What I was requesting, I would just reiterate for the people in the room, some of the things that I'm very concerned about having answers to, the number of 17-year-olds who have entered the criminal court system since this law has changed, the number of jail and prison admissions for 17-year-olds convicted in criminal court, the types of offenses for which 17-year-olds have been confined, the cost of confinement for 17-year-olds in the criminal justice system, the number of 16-year-olds, excuse me, waived into criminal court, the recidivism rate of 17-year-olds, 17-year-old offenders, and approaches used by other states in treating 17-year-olds in criminal court. Just to echo a little bit of what was just said by the previous speaker, I do agree that revocation data would be very helpful in helping us to understand exactly what impact this law has on our young people in this court system. And what I want to talk about just a little bit and very briefly are some of the, not just the fiscal costs of incarcerating 17-year-olds and treating them as adults, but the social costs that are involved as well. The previous speaker talked about requesting that the Audit Bureau take a look at the fiscal impact of treating 17-year-olds as juveniles, and that's certainly something as stewards of the state that we have a responsibility to look at. However, I would also argue that there is a significant social cost that results as from us treating 17-year-olds as adults. First of all, it's important to understand that the vast majority of 17-year-olds that are convicted in adult court are not convicted of any type of, most of them, it's like 3%, if I'm not mistaken, are convicted of serious violent crimes. The vast, overwhelming majority of these young people are convicted of disorderly conduct and alcohol and marijuana use. So we're not talking about crimes that are going to be a significant risk to society. We're talking about crimes that young people are often engaged in that, and if we took a poll in this room, I would wonder how many people would raise their hands that they may have been in a situation at the age of 17 that where they would have fallen into these categories. So we're not talking about violent crimes. And the bill that I along with Representative Kessler, introduced last session, would have always allowed the judge the opportunity to waive into adult court when it was warranted. So we're never taking away the discretion of the judge to say that this is such a serious crime that it rises to the level where we should be able to waive to adult court. We're just saying that this should not be an automatic assumption that every 17-year-old that comes before the court should be treated as an adult. It's also important to understand that Wisconsin is in the minority in this area, in this policy. 38 other states currently treat 17-year-olds as juveniles, and there has been an ongoing movement to move back in that direction. Wisconsin is only one of 12 states currently that still does that, and of those 12 states, more than half have laws or have legislation on the books right now to move back into that in that direction. So I hope that we would also be thoughtful and considerate of the need to look at this policy and whether or not it's something that is in the best interest of the residents in Wisconsin. The other issue that I want to bring up is that many of the 17-year-olds that enter the system are also still in high school. And this poses a significant problem for the adult criminal justice system, who are not don't have the capacity or the mechanisms in place to ensure that our 17-year-olds get the proper education and preparation that they need. They're not geared to be able to provide those services, certainly in the same way that the juvenile justice system is able to do. Another point that I would like to mention that is just philosophically, it's interesting that in no other arena of life are 17-year-olds treated as adults. 17-year-olds are not able to vote. They're not able to drink. They're not able to purchase cigarettes. If a 17-year-old is homeless, they are by law not able to go into a homeless shelter because they have not reached the age of majority. So being consistent, it's interesting that the only consistency that we seem to demonstrate is one when it relates to punishment as opposed to providing services. One of the more significant arguments for this change in law for me is that there's been a significant amount of childhood brain development research that has demonstrated that there is a stage from late adolescence until early 20s that young people go through where they are still developing the ability to make rational judgments. Many of the hallmarks of adolescence, including risk-taking behaviors, not thinking about the consequences of one's decisions. Many of those things have been, research has demonstrated that they are directly connected to what is still a developing brain. Many of our young people at this stage have not developed the brain capacity and the decision-making capabilities to make rational decisions as you or I would be able to make having been matured adults. And there is a plethora of research that demonstrates that we used to think that early childhood brain development was something that happened only in the first 3 years of a child's life, and much of the latest research has demonstrated that many of the decisions young people make are based on their still developing and maturing brains. And so I think it's important that when young people make poor decisions, that we take that into account and look at that as one of the factors in determining what punishment there should be. We certainly do not want to give young people the impression that their poor behavior and their mistakes and judgment should go unpunished. However, I think that punishment should be one aspect. However, rehabilitation should really be the goal, and we should really be in the business of trying to ensure that young people have opportunities for success and are able to have those services in place so that they may be able to turn their lives around. Giving a young person possibly a felony at the age of 17 has the impact of keeping them from being able to participate fully in the job market, keeping them from being able to do things such as rent from people. Their credit is affected. It has a significant number of secondary consequences as opposed to them being in the juvenile system, where they have the opportunity to receive treatment, they have the opportunity for education, they have the opportunity for counseling, they have the opportunity to be around peers who they are developmentally on par with, as opposed to adult criminals who may have the impact of even exacerbating some of their criminal behaviors and thoughts. And I guess the last thing that point that I really want to make is that we've been able to show that young people that are put in these environments tend to reoffend at a much higher rate than young people that are put in juvenile systems. And if while I stress and on any number of bills or legislation since I've been in the legislature, I continue to say that we have to make a decision if whether or not our policies are directed at punishment or whether they're directed at rehabilitation. What is the goal, and how do we benefit as a state, depending on what our philosophy is in that area? I certainly am an advocate of making sure that people do the time, they do the crime, they do the time. I understand that philosophy. However, I think that we are all better served by making sure that our young people have those opportunities to truly turn their lives around and become productive citizens of the state and can contribute to our tax base and to the quality of life of the entire state. So I guess I conclude by asking, are we serious about giving people second chances and making sure that those opportunities are in place so that we can rehabilitate people. We are called the Department of Corrections for a reason, not the Department of Punishment. Hopefully we are in the business of correcting and rehabilitating as opposed to simply, solely handing out punishment. So those are some of the justifications for why I'm so strongly in support of well, what was AB 82 last session. I don't know what it'll be this session, but I think that this audit will clarify some of those questions, and I think it will make a strong I'm convinced that some of the findings will make a strong case for why we need to take a serious look at raising the age of adult jurisdiction. And I again thank Senator Sullivan and Representative Jeskiewicz for entertaining the idea of the audit and giving me the opportunity to express my thoughts, and I'd be happy to take any questions.